morning. It's good to be here in service this morning. I appreciate this opportunity. It's good to see each one out. Ask interest in your prayers that the Lord would help us with this thought, would give us the strength that we need. I feel in very much need of Him this morning, so please pray for us. I've written on the board this morning, rewards in obedience. It likes a little thought I've been thinking over the last week or so. As I watch people, I like to watch people. And sometimes as I watch people, I guess I'm referring to people that I don't know. And I just have to wonder their ambitions, their goals in life, as they hustle and bustle around, as they drive up and down the road, as they go here and there. My mind just always wonders what are they doing? Where are they going? What kind of backgrounds do they have? Where do they come from? What kind of lifestyle do they lead? And it's just some curious thoughts that I have. I think of the goals that people set, how much time and energy that people put into these goals, careers, 401ks, planning for the future. People set goals for paying for their children's college. They can spend their whole lives or their whole adult lives working for these things. Some people, goals is to see how active that they can be in their communities, their churches. And I wonder if the world's mindset has forgotten some of maybe, while these goals are important and there is a time and a place to have these goals in front of us and to set these things and work toward these things, I wonder sometimes if we're not careful that it's easy to forget why we are here on this earth, what the most important goal should be, the most important goal that we should have our eyes on, and where we should put most of our time and our energy and our thoughts. I think about that goal, of course, is love and obedience to God, to the one that has given us life, to the one that loves us, to the one that does for us, the one that provides for us. Hopefully, that's where a biggest portion of our dedication and our time and our energy goes to. And that we may not lose, Lord help us, that we not lose focus of where that goal should be, that number one goal. But I also think about the needs that we have. We are a very needy people. We need the Lord, as we all know, each and every day. We are nothing without Him. We can do nothing without Him. We need Him for our spiritual needs, for healings, for physical healings, for spiritual healings. And I'm so thankful this morning that we serve a God that can provide each and every one of those needs for each and every individual in here this morning. I'm thankful that we serve a God that has promised to supply all of our needs, and that we are the recipients of those things that He gives us, that He provides for. But I think it is wise that we be careful, that we not take on the mindset that if I am saved, if I claim to be saved, if I speak that I'm saved, if I claim that I'm a child of God, that we not take on the mindset that these things that God does for us, these blessings, these all these things that He provides, that it not just come to be. see if I can explain it a little bit more clear. I feel like so much of the world feels that if I do the things that I know I'm supposed to do, if I go the places I know I'm supposed to go, if I claim to be a child of God, if I claim to be His, that all these things that the Lord has promised to me, they're just going to fall into place. And I don't think that's the way it works. God does choose. God chooses. God is God. God can do what He wants to do. And there are times that God chooses to work and bless whenever He wants to bless. But I believe we have a part to play also in that. God can do what He wants to. He can do what He wants to do when He wants to do it. But I believe we have a part. I found a scripture. We don't have to turn there. Deuteronomy 28. This is Moses talking to the people. And it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." The Lord is going to bestow on us what He wants to bestow. But there are going to come times in our lives, we're going to come up against things in our lives when the Lord is going to try to get something to us, and He's going to try to give us something, and we're going to have a part to play in that if we want to receive what the Lord has intended us to receive. We're going to have to hearken to His voice. We're going to have to observe, and we're going to have to do His commandments as Moses instructed these people here. So my thought this morning is rewards and obedience. The Lord brought to my mind three different examples in Scripture, three different stories. They're all very familiar stories. It does involve a little reading, and I know a lot of reading can be tedious, but I do want to read several scriptures, and I just pray for us, and I hope you can get something out of it. Let's turn to Joshua 6. Again, very familiar story. It says, when Joshua come to the city of Jericho, the Lord had promised them that they could have this land. But here Joshua is leading the people of Israel, and here they are up against this city full of giants, this wall, and here they need the Lord to perform a miracle for them. So, again, rewards and obedience. And as we read through these examples, if we could just kind of tune in and listen to the instructions that were given and the importance of following those instructions, the importance of following God's direction and what He wanted them to do. So Joshua 6, we'll start at verse 3 and read down maybe through around verse 20 or so. So Joshua 6 and 3, "And ye shall come..." This is God giving Joshua specific directions on how He wanted this to play out. "And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpets, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, encompass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed man went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. In the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, and so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she had hid the messengers that we sent. Skip on down to verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. There's a lot going on in those scriptures. A lot of specific details that they had to do because the Lord gave him specific directions on what to do. I know that's a lot of reading and that's a lot of continual over and over verbiage. But I think it's very important that we recognize the importance of what was before them. The Lord had given them a promise of something they could have. And here they are up against this. But there's something that they have to do first in order to obtain the reward. Some of those things were that the direction the Lord gave them was to go around the city once for 6 days. I want 7 priests. I want 7 trumpets. On the 7th day, I want you to go around 7 times. A long blast, not 3 or 4 short blasts, but 1 long blast. Then the people are going to shout. And then Joshua gave them instructions. There's going to be a time of no shouting. No words. I don't want anything. I want total quietness. All these things played a very important part of what the Lord had planned in order for Joshua and them to be able to claim victory. All right. So going on to another example, let's turn it over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 18. Starting around verse 30. Another very familiar story. It's dealing with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Leading up to this verse 30, Elijah had met with King Ahab on the mountain. Elijah had told the priests that were gathered there and the people. He said, look, the time has come, in my own words, if you'll allow me to use my own words, you got to quit going back and forth between God and Baal. We need to get this straight. We need to get this settled of who God really is. So as the story goes on, Elijah said, bring an altar. Bring 2 bullocks. Let's cut the bullock up. Let's put him on the altar. And whoever God will send down fire and to consume the sacrifice will claim and proclaim that he is God. So that went on. The people, the priests, they cut the bullock up. They put it on. Elijah gave them about a half a day. I think it said from the morning till noon. And they hooped and they hollered and they shouted and they danced. For several hours went on and on. And eventually Elijah started making a little fun of them. Started kind of poking at them and told them that maybe God's hard of hearing. Maybe he's not listening. Maybe he's talking to a friend. Maybe he's on vacation somewhere. Maybe you need to holler a little bit louder. So they did that. They started cutting themselves. They blood running all over the place. Maybe Baal will feel sorry for me. That goes on. Finally, enough of that. So picking up at verse 30, Elijah says, "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice." You know, if this scripture, if this story stopped right here, it would still be an awesome story to read and to relate to. That I'm going to build this altar, I'm going to dig a trench, I'm going to get some water and I'm going to pour it and I'm going to cover this sacrifice in water. And we know the rest of the story, but it didn't stop there. It said, "Fill the 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." But then he said, "Do it a second time." They did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. And the water ran all about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." So again, just another example of Elijah in a situation that he needed the Lord to show himself. He needed the Lord to come down and reveal himself to these priests and to the people standing around. And again, there was, if you'd notice, there were certain things and a certain order of things that Elijah did in preparation for the Lord showing himself and for the Lord working. 12 stones to build the altar in the name of the Lord. "I want you to dig a trench. Put the wood on, cut the bullock into pieces, fill 4 barrels with water, dump it on the sacrifice. Do it a second time and do it a third time." All these things Elijah did because it was in the order the Lord wanted. All right, one more example. 2 Kings 5. Starting about verse 9. The story of Naaman. Naaman, the first verse of chapter 5 says Naaman was a captain of the host of the king Syria. He was a great man with his master. Sure, Naaman had a name for himself, had accomplished many great and wonderful things in the eyes of the king, in the eyes of the people. But Naaman had a problem. Naaman had a health issue. Naaman was a leper. So as the story goes on, by word of a little handmaid, that there was a prophet that could help Naaman of his physical condition, of his leprosy. So a letter was sent to the king of Israel. The king of Israel got this letter and said, "Who am I? I can't help this man out." Well, The prophet, Elisha, got word of it. Went to the king, said, King, send him to me. He said, again with my own words, with the Lord's help, I think we can help Naaman out. So Naaman went to see Elisha. So starting at verse 9, it says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Phapar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou have not done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So Naaman, a leper, he didn't do it very willingly. I could say I wish he would have done it a little bit more willingly, but that's not how the story goes. But thank the Lord, he finally came around, and he finally got some sense, and he was talked into listening to the Lord. But again, the instructions from the Lord was very specific. It didn't say go fling yourself in the river, get under the water, and come back out. No, he said 7 times. Maybe there's some meaning behind the word 7. I don't know. But I know the Lord said 7 times. And that's how many times he had to go underwater and come up before he was clean. So 3 examples. 3 examples of someone needing something from God. Needing God to work a miracle. Needing God, seeking the Lord or seeking the prophet's help and some healing. And seeking for God to reveal himself and show himself to someone. And I think of that first example in Joshua. How easy would it have been for Joshua to come to this wall of Jericho and say, Lord, here it is. This is what you have promised me. This is what you said me and the children of Israel could have. So, Lord, here it is before me. Lord, you said it was mine. So, Lord, I need you to speak this thing and the walls could come crumbling down. I think that would have been possible. I think God could have accomplished that. After all, didn't he speak the world into existence? He did. But that's not the way God wanted things to work out. God wanted Joshua to follow a specific set of instructions. God wanted Joshua to see if Joshua and the children of Israel are going to be obedient unto the things I'm telling you to do. Now think of the next example, Elisha. The Lord wanted to work on Elisha's behalf, and he did. But there were some things that had to be done before he showed himself. I got to build an altar. In life, I have found there are things the Lord requires of me and wants me to do. There are things that the Lord wants me to turn over to Him, to give to Him. In accordance with His Word and from a heart of obedience, that's what He wants from us. So here, build an altar. Well, you know what? I can build an altar. I feel like I can accomplish that. I've done that several times. But don't stop there. Put some wood on the altar. All right, well, of course. I'm going to give up a sacrifice. I got to have some wood to burn the sacrifice. So I can put some wood on the altar. But it doesn't stop there. He said, dig a trench. Now I want to start scratching my head a little bit. Dig a trench. Why do I need why do I need a trench to offer up a sacrifice? So I dig a trench. And I'm referencing, trying to bring it out in our lives today. I dig a trench. All right, Lord, I'm gonna go a little bit farther. I may not understand it, but I'm gonna dig a trench. I dug the trench, Lord. Now, Lord, can you work? Can you show yourself to me? Can you pour down that blessing on me? No, I'm not through yet. I want you to get some water, and I want you to pour some water on that sacrifice. And now I'm beginning to think, this isn't making very much sense to me now. I don't understand where you're going with this. So I take the, but I want to be faithful and I want to obey, right? So I get the water and I pour it all over the sacrifice. I cut the bullock up and I pour the water all over the wood, all over the sacrifice, and it runs down into the trench. And I just have to step back and say, okay, Lord, here it is. I did what you asked. Now I'm ready. But you know, there are times the Lord can say, no, not yet. You're not ready yet. I'm not through just yet. I want you to fill those barrels back up with water and pour it again. And now I'm beginning to think, Lord, I put some more water on that. That might actually hinder you from what you're capable and what you're able to do. But I want to be obedient, right? So I'm kind of throwing my hands in the air, and I take the water and I throw it on the sacrifice, and it's starting to fill the trench up, and the Lord says, no, do it again. And at this point, I'm at the mercy of the Lord. Okay, Lord. But if I'm obedient and if I continue to listen and to do the things the Lord wants me to do, there's a payoff. There's a reward. So I do it, and we do it a third time. Elisha, they dump water on it a third time. And we know what happened. The Lord showed Himself and proved Himself to those people. And that fire came down and consumed that sacrifice. It said it consumed the rocks, the wood, the water, and even the dust around it. Thank the Lord that if we follow the instructions that He wants us to do, that He will, the blessings may not always be in the way we think they should come or in the way we thought they were going to come, but the Lord will show Himself and the Lord will bless us if we follow His instructions. The third example was Naaman needed healing. And Naaman says, who in the world does this prophet think he is? Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he know how good of a person and great of a person what everybody thinks of me? And he wants me to go wash over here in the Jordan when the least he could do was send me over here with some better water. But that's not what the Lord had in mind. The Lord has a way of taking us down a notch if He needs to, through His instructions and through the ways that He wants us to obey. So as the story played out, Naaman went and he got in the river. And I just remember growing up, I remember the way the Bible story of reading it and maybe how it was told to me that Naaman came up the first time and the second time, and that's another same scripture, but he looked at his skin and he still had leprosy. And he just kind of shook his head and said, all right, here we go. He went down a third and a fourth time and he still had leprosy. And about the sixth time, he was pretty discouraged. And this ain't working. There's no way. But he went down a seventh time. He did what the Lord wanted him to do. And he come out and he's a brand new person. He's a brand new skin. You know, we are going to find that in life, as we live life and we go along, that there are going to be times and places in our lives we're going to come up against things. And we're going to need things that only God can give, that only God can supply, and that only God can help us through. There's a lot of help that we can look around and find in this world. There's a lot we can do for each other. But there are going to be some things. We're going to come up against some walls. As I said earlier, we're going to find ourselves needing some healing, some spiritual healing, some physical healings. There are going to be times in our lives that we're not going to know where to go, which way to turn, what to do, and all we're going to be able to do is say, Lord, help me. And it's in those times that God wants to show Himself to us. It's in those times that God wants to give us those victories. That He wants to let us feel His presence and to feel His love and to see that fire come down and to take care of the things that we're bringing before Him. And again, there are times that He does work in those ways when we're just going along and it just seems like everything's falling into place and all the pieces of the puzzle are fitting together. We do experience those times and thank the Lord for those times, but there are also those times when maybe the puzzles isn't fitting together and things aren't going our way and the road is difficult. And those are the times that if we can stop and we can listen, we can hearken to the voice of the Lord, we can pay attention, and we can listen to what He has to say, because He's got some details, some specific instructions of how He wants us to approach this thing, or what He wants us to do, or where He wants us to go. And if I can hearken to the voice and I can obey, then I will gain the reward that the Lord has intended for me to gain. Is the instructions the Lord gives us, are they always going to make sense? They don't always make sense to me. Sometimes I do have to scratch my head, and I try not to, but I do have to kind of wonder maybe, what's the Lord got in mind here? Is it always going to be easy? No. Following the Lord's direction to the T, crossing the T's and dotting the I's to exactly what He says to do, it's not always going to be easy. And I hope nobody has told you it ever would be. It wasn't... I don't think it was easy for Joshua. I know it wasn't easy for Naaman. It's not always going to be easy. But look at the reward. Look at the payoff. Look at the promises that the Lord has said we could have, the things we could obtain. If we can just find a way to listen. And once we listen and we understand, then to obey. No matter what that is, no matter where it is, no matter what it is that the Lord wants us to do, it may be difficult, but I can assure you the Lord will give us the strength that we need to obey His every command, and that there will be a reward. There was a verse in John, we don't have to turn there, I think it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandment." Isn't that what the Lord wants from us most? Is our love, our obedience to Him, a heart of obedience. You know, it's a heart of obedience. And I wonder if too many times we get caught up in a list of do's and don'ts. We get caught up in, I'm saved. So, here's the list of the things I can do, and here's the list of the things I can't do. And if I go off of any one of these lists, then Lord help me, and everything is devastation, and I hope that we don't see it. Yes, there are certain things in Scriptures that the Lord requires of us, that He wants us to do and not to do. But it's more than a list, it's more than obeying all the things that, doing all the things the preacher said I can do, or I can't go here, or I can't go there. It's more than that. The Lord wants it to come out of love for Him. It's things that He wants to deal with me on a personal level. Things that He might require of me that He may not require for any one of you. But what does He want? When He deals with me on those things, on those person that when he gets down on that personal level with me, it's how I respond. Lord, am I responding out of a heart, a desire to serve, to love, to please, and obey? Because, Lord, it says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Lord, help me to love you that no matter what the instructions are, no matter what the price is to be paid, Lord, that I can do it without a grudge on my face, without a grudge in my heart, dear Lord, that I can look ahead and see what you have planned for me on the other side, what reward you have for me, because there will be a reward. He would not promise us something and expect us to go through these things in life and obey all these little details and all these places, these things he wants to do and these places he wants to go, if he didn't have something to give us in return. I think of the story of Abraham and Isaac. I don't know if there is another story in my opinion that shows obedience more than that story. And it's when he was to offer Isaac, and he takes Isaac, his son, and in my own words, son, let's go up the mountain. We've got to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. So I can see Isaac there. Sure, Dad. Let's go. And they're on their way. They're on their way up the mountain, and they get up there, and it's coming time to give this sacrifice. And you know, I wonder if on the way up the mountain, I can't help but wonder if Abraham's pretty quiet, and it's hard to put one foot in front of the other going up that mountain. I imagine that was some long steps for Abraham going up that mountain. I'm sure that's one of the hardest roads that he ever had to walk, knowing that he had to kill this boy here right beside him. And they get to the top of the mountain, and Isaac looks around and says, "Well, Dad, we didn't bring a sacrifice." And Abram has to look at him and say, "Son, I've got to kill you. I've got to put you on that altar, and I have to slay you because you are the sacrifice." Folks, it's not always going to be easy. We're going to have to go through some places in our life that are difficult to go through. But the Lord's going to provide a reward. He's going to give us what He promised. He promised Abraham. Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Your children are going to come before you, behind you. And Lord, if I kill him, how is this promise going to take place? Well, it doesn't matter, Abraham. It doesn't matter. I've given you some specific instructions, and all I want from you, Abram, is love and obedience. That's all I want from you, Abraham. I'll work out the rest. Well, the story goes, Abraham obeyed, and we know the end result. God provided a sacrifice, but I hope this is a challenge to you this morning. I hope the Lord can use this to challenge you to obey when He gives instructions. But I also hope it is an encouragement, because we know there is a reward when we do the things the Lord wants us to do. We will have those victories. Those walls will be knocked down for us. We will receive those healings, maybe not in a timely manner that we think they should come, maybe, and those spiritual healing, we're going to reap the benefits that the Lord has promised us. But even if there is an ultimate reward, and we know what that reward is, and that is to have our place seated beside Him. And I hope that is the goal of each and every one of us, that we can obey the Lord so we can reap the benefits here on earth that He has promised us. But beyond, but above that is the greatest benefit that we will ever have. And that's to sit beside Him in heaven. And that's where that's my goal. That's where I want to be. And I hope that is yours as well. So may the Lord challenge, and I hope it's been an encouragement. And y'all pray for me.